Did anyone else notice that the more you hear Ion speaking of the Vatican, tea with Vatican City, that the richer and deeper it gets?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm back, but I got to check my speaker. Just a second. An awesome song.
Yeah.
Hey, Carolyn.
You would have to take this out.
Okay, forget speaker. How do I get heard?
You turn off.
Oh, see? The mute's marked. Can you guys hear me right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you can. Okay. All right. So I just want, before we get into the Vatican, just want to say, wasn't that a great song? There's so many incredible good songs out there.
That really is. Your shitty fucking attitude and your hair is so luxurious.
Yeah, you pissed me off. But happy,
that's
happy
awesome.
Music.
They weren't allowed to say that kind of stuff then.
What's that? What'd you say?
Shitty. I said it was shitty fucking attitude. You said, was that wrong?
Well,
I'm going to have a problem. I'm on Carolyn's stupid iPhone, and it's all muffly. Not as clear, so I don't know what you're saying, Andrew. You want to try it one more time?
Oh, I thought he said in the song, your shitty fucking attitude. That's why.
That's what the lyrics
is. It's pissing him off.
Yeah, I would say they...
luxurious hair.
That would not have gone on the airwaves, is what I'm saying.
No,
oh, totally. No. Totally. All the time. That's awesome. I think it's flipped
would
in.
Would have been on TKLN. No,
right.
Maybe not.
Right, when it was made. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I think it's recent. Yeah, wait a minute. I think it's recent. Forget it. Stupid topic, okay? Yeah, Sue. It got deeper and deeper into the Vatican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's richer. I haven't heard that one for probably a year and a half, and I don't know, just everything seems to be going click these days so that I understand more and more what Ion is talking about. Easier,
yeah.
Faster, deeper,
yeah.
More delicious.
Deeper, richer. Take it all. You're learning to take it all, Sue.
Totally.
Take it all, baby. Take it all.
That was done pre the Revelation series, right? And so I noticed there was a lot in there that's leading up to the Revelation series.
Yeah.
Just like when you listen to the Revelation series, it was pre-RNA drops. And
right.
That is so full of references to what was coming with the drops.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The anticipatoriness of Ion.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole idea of the church and Peter... that it was hijacked by Peter. That's quite interesting because people don't think of it in those terms.
That's right. Those people don't think. They go to church for security. They want to be comforted. They want hope. They want all kinds of things. They're not going to think about it, but and they certainly don't go into their fear that makes them want security.
Yeah,
but with the borders in the states now breaking down, we're all going to get fearful again. The dope gangs are taking over the border towns.
The dope gangs.
You mean the
doobies on the border.
What?
Dope gangs smoking doobies on the border.
Yeah, no, it's very violent. There's a really good TV show about it called The Killing.
Yeah,
I mean, the mafias are just shooting their way into power.
And all the children are coming over here.
Right. All the teenagers.
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
Are doing what?
They're just flooding in the states. They've got all these illegal teenagers that are just flooding in over the past week.
Over 50,
and so they put them up. And
are you talking about the Mexican border, Bob?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty out of control. Well, the media's presenting that. Yeah, we must learn to ignore what they're telling us, right? Or we don't want to be cognizant of anything. You know, we just get sucked in. But Wendy went one of these Mexican border town places and had a terrifying week.
Really? What was that like, Wendy?
Well, I went to my sister's house, and she loves living there. My perspective was totally different. I don't like living in a place where every house is walls and bars and you're, you know, just all boarded up. And at night, the dogs bark and bark incessantly because everybody has dogs. But out there, they sleep outside, unlike here where we bring our pets in, because the dogs are all for security. And, you know, the whole time you're there, if you mention that anything, like that you would think that there might be, you'd be unsafe, they're very, very quick to say, oh, no, this is the safest place in Mexico. But, yeah, I didn't like it at all. I had trouble just getting through the airport because I had...
What city was it? Where were you exactly?
I was in Merida, and it's touted as a wonderful place, but because my sister is very new there and her Spanish is very limited, and in that neighborhood, nobody speaks English in the stores, or like we were in Walmarts and stuff and trying to use sign language to buy stuff, and it was quite the experience. They have a totally different social system there. My sister has learned that you have to travel everywhere you go with a big bag of coins because the senior citizens there, the government, as a way to help support them, allows them to go into all the stores and parking lots, and like you could be backing out of a parking stall, and it's like a Walmart, just like what we have here. And even though there might not be any other cars around you, they stand behind your car and direct you out, and you don't have to legally, but you know, it's a social thing that you do, is you give them a handful of coins and they go into all the stores. And you know how in, I don't know if in the States you have bag people, like that stand at the end of the grocery line and bag your groceries? Well, there, the seniors, will do that, and you just, you know, give them a handful of coins. Everywhere you go, you have to give people coins for everything.
Wow.
Yeah. It was totally different. It's not an environment I liked at all. The airport there, I felt like I was in a Nazi Germany place. There's like guards and dogs walking around sniffing everybody. And I had a little bit of beef jerky in my bag, and the dog smelled it. I got pulled over to the side and had to communicate with someone who worked at the airport whose English was not that great. And there's a 5-year prison term, I guess, for that. So had some scary moment. Pardon?
To have beef jerky?
To bring meat into the country.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I had just a little bit in my bag, you know, to eat on the plane. And so I hadn't claimed it, but the dogs sniff it out. And it was like totally, I've been to Cancun before where it's very touristy and, you know, everywhere you go people speak English. And this just had a horrible feel to it. However, on the other side of it, my sister and her husband absolutely love it. Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a different view than me, but I would never live there. And I had to listen to Bob every single night because going to sleep at night, there was just my sister and I alone in this big house, and there were just crazy noises all night long, and I was sleeping on the main floor alone, and my sister could never have even heard me if I'd called out. And there was just so much crazy stuff happening that I couldn't even go to sleep because of the noise. I don't know if it's because the walls surround every house and echo everything back, but there was like knocking on the window, and So I would just keep listening to a payday program that I had downloaded, thank goodness, but I only had the one program, and I would listen every night and just to, you know, feel comforted. And it was like Bob was the most comforting voice I'd ever heard in my life at that point, because every time I begin to drift and go to sleep and I get jolted awake again, I would just reach over and hit play, and I would listen to the same segment over and over because I was too tired to change it. And I emailed Bob and I told him, I heard you be mean to Joseph from Croatia so many times over and over, even though it's only once. And I kept thinking, I wish you were nicer to him. But at the same time, you know, I couldn't stop listening to Bob's voice. It was my comfort. And I would tell myself, because there were like these weird puppets in the barred window where I would be staring out the window, you know, in anticipation of seeing someone there because of all the noise. And if I started staring too long and getting too obsessed with it, I would just say to myself, just listen to Bob's voice, concentrate on Bob's voice, and everything will be okay. And that's how I got through the whole night there. It was an interesting experience, but thanks, Bob.
Nancy, why don't you use your angels and just put two great big angels beside you and all around the house? Like, hey, what are they for?
I did do that, and thank God for the angels, because, like, when I was in the airport, and I was getting, you know, pulled over, and they're telling me, you know, how wrong this was and everything, I started using my angel talk, and normally I would have been terrified, like many years ago, but because of Iandam and Bob and everything, I knew I was using the angel talk, and I was actually fearful for the people around me, because I thought, you know, I do not do this in anger, but if things get really bad and go any worse, I was just going to let it rip, and I didn't care how many people got killed. So I was fearful for those around me, and in the house, I did do the angel stuff, but every time I'd drift off to even begin to sleep, the noises would just jar you awake, and after so long without sleeping night after night, You still find you need the comfort of Bob, besides the angels.
Daddy. Big Daddy.
Yeah.
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 But I'm glad I experienced it all. And, like, all in all, I really wasn't that terrified, as long as I say I just kept listening to Payday and ignoring everything around me.
You know, I don't think all of Mexico is like that for sure, because I go up to San Miguel de Allende, which is 3 hours north of Mexico City, driving, and it's in a high desert plateau, and it's beautiful. You don't have that, you don't have a lot of people there behind locked gates or separate from the community. The expat community, which is about 15 or 20% of the population, is very involved through the library in all kinds of volunteer work and organizations, and it's more of a prosperous town, I guess, in that regard, and people are very gentle, and it's very peaceful, lots of great restaurants, terrific art, a cathedral, you know, a beautiful downtown area. So every time I've been there, it's just been very soothing, it's been very peaceful and lovely.
Yeah, and I know that it's different parts, because I've been elsewhere where there's lots of English spoken. And I also realize it's because my sister is very new there as well, and she's not part of the expat community. And the neighborhood she lives in, you go to the stores and nobody speaks English. It's not, it's just a different neighborhood. And it's like that anywhere. I know, like, if I go to a different neighborhood in my own city, it's like a different world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome home in one piece. No doubt.
Thank you. I thought about you, and I thought when I was going, you know, through all this stuff and all this traveling, I thought, how the frick does Sue do this every day?
Well, it seems to be getting easier and easier with the drops, that's for sure. I noticed just starting to take this latest generation of RNA drops, that I'm so much, there's something that's shifted that's so different in me, and I feel very present when I'm on the plane with people, but people are responding to me in a very, very soft and sort of generous way, and maybe that's because I'm treating them in a soft and generous way, not that I wasn't before, but I find that so much is effortless now, effortless.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I encountered any issues, like it could have just been all my own bias of not being used to being behind locked walls everywhere. So, like, nothing really happened. It was just me, you know, thinking about it.
Except the labyrinth of your mind, that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. But it was all cool. I'm really happy I had the experience, though. But it was really an eye-opener to see how much I'd come to rely on Bob. As, like, you know, a year or two ago, I wouldn't have thought of listening to Bob ranting on somebody on payday as a comforting thing to hear, whereas now it was a totally different situation. It was, like, the best thing, made me feel so at home.
I mean, if you're talking about your iPhone or whatever it is, music wouldn't have worked.
No. I was wanting to hear your voice and to focus on payday.
The richness of my voice, the strength, the power, the ascension.
I think it just reminded me, because we all listen so much with, you know, so much content now, it just was the most normal feeling I could have. You know, if you're doing dishes or something, and it's kind of like an everyday normal thing.
Yeah, from boredom to anxiety, we fit the bill.
Yep, that's right.
So Sue, what more? You want to say more about the Vatican talk? Kim was on earlier, and she said she had to listen to it three times. She said the logic was just stunning to her. The way Ion rebutted these key points.
Yeah, and how he presented it like a lawyer at the final presentation in the court case, yeah. Yeah, it was interesting what Carolyn said, too, about the first time she went into a Catholic church, and, you know, the statues of the priests were bigger than the Jesus figures.
Yeah.
And that whole idolatry thing is quite... quite interesting, because I do go quite a bit to Rome and go into those beautiful churches, and the art and the beauty of just the structure of the church, it does have a very peaceful sort of effect on you, and they are stunning artworks, the whole thing.
Have you gone into the Sistine Chapel lately?
Yeah, not lately, but I have gone into the Sistine Chapel. The whole Vatican Museum is huge, and you're going through with literally 1,000 people at a time, and there is just so much to see in there that by the time you get to the Sistine Chapel, your eyeballs are just ready to fall out of your head. But,
well, can you walk straight through to the Sistine Chapel?
Oh, yeah, you could if you wanted, yeah. I think I could do that next time. Definitely go and just spend more time in the Sistine Chapel. They want you to be quiet in there, but there's a lot of Japanese tourists and different people that are just treating it like, you know, any kind of tourist monument, and it's kind of noisy. But it's beautiful, interesting. Now that I know more of what I'm looking at, I'd be going and bringing my binoculars and sitting there longer and looking at the Isaac. Is it Isaiah? It's Isaiah where Carolyn is on Isaiah's shoulder.
So.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Sue, when you go to these cities, is there a place where you can find out what's happening? You do that on the web?
Yeah, I do that on the web. I go to TripAdvisor, mostly.
TripAdvisor.
Yeah, TripAdvisor.com. And you can go and check out hotels and... then they have attractions, what you can do in just one day there, what you can do in 3 days there, and then you can go to their cultural attractions. That's how I found the James Joyce Foundation in Zurich last week.
So it's quite cultured and sophisticated, the range of activities they show.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very interested in the art gallery museums.
Okay, so you go to TripAdvisor and you look up museums, you look up categories?
Yeah, you just go to the city, and it'll tell you things to do. And then you can look at what people rate as the top event or the top thing to see in the city. And sometimes it goes up to 100. And it'll have the top restaurants, so you can go in and cruise those. And people give all their reviews about these different museums. And it's good because they have a lot of the obscure, out-of-the-way museums that are very small and interesting. Like, I don't think, I would never have found this James Joyce Museum. It was, I haven't sent you the pictures yet, Bob. I have to do that.
Right, so, who does TripAdvisor? Is that from Europe or United States? Do you know?
I don't know. I think it must be an American site because they do everything. You know, you can book your flights and hotels and all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
I just mostly use it for... I think there's another one called Yelp where you can find out where to eat and what to do in different cities and stuff.
What do you think of Europe? You've spent a lot of time the last few years.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how...
Is it old-fashioned to you, or not, that's not an issue?
Pardon me?
Is it old-fashioned to you, or that's not how you look at it?
Oh, no, it's very, very modern. The interesting thing for me, an eye-opening thing for me, was how modern and postmodern a lot of the architecture is there and how people sort of blend in, like, super modern art and buildings and architecture with the really old, old stuff. So
right.
You got most of the cities are really walking cities too. So people are located in the downtown core, and I mean, for example, Barcelona, which is one of my favorite cities, it's got a huge long expanse of beachfront that was set up during the time when they had the Olympics there. When was that? Like 88 or 90s? I can't quite remember, but it has huge. It has, you know, 5 miles of beach, and it has a huge boardwalk. It has people that bicycle and run, and it has all these things along the way where you can stop and do different kinds of exercises on these equipment. And people stroll, and they bike, and they do all this kind of stuff. And all along the way, there's this really beautiful modern art, big sculptures outside, great buildings, little cafes you can sit in and just relax and have a drink, food, all that kind of stuff. And then when you get into the old part of the city, which is very medieval, it's really a whole warren of little streets that you can wander around, and there's lots of little boutiques and eateries, and, you know, it's very... Even at night, it's sort of lively up until 2 o'clock in the morning, especially in the summer when it's very hot. People don't even go out to eat till about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And they're pretty well in the streets, especially in the old part of town where they have all the tapas bars and different places. Everyone is walking. Everyone is chatting. Everyone is laughing. It's a very... easy, laid back.
Going out to be social. There's the pattern, eh? Going out to be social, American cities go to be alone.
Yes. And they have lots of big, wonderful walking streets. There's one called, Try to remember.
What city? What city?
Yeah. Well, there's a big, promenade between two streets. And everyone walks up the middle of it and has cafes there and restaurants and all kinds of tourist places. And you have to be careful because that's where all the pickpockets are. And
Is that all cities?
No, this is I'm talking Barcelona. A lot of Spanish cities. A lot of European cities have their promenades where people just walk and they go out at night and they sit and they watch people go by, and it's very...
One of the Zappa songs I played today from the 60s to 70s, He said the French really think the Spanish are cool. Is that
yeah.
something that's still happening?
Yeah, the Spanish have redeemed themselves in my eyes. I mean, I think they're amazing people right now. And I certainly like Barcelona and the Basque people. They're quite interesting and different than the people in Madrid, even. What's going to say about that?
A lot of modern art came out of Barcelona. I think Picasso came from Barcelona. There was all these artists in Barcelona
yeah.
in 1900 before they went to Paris. And there was this whole movement, revolutionary spirit, that influenced Paris when they got there.
Picasso, there's a Picasso museum there that I've seen. It's very small, but it's quite interesting. A lot of pieces from the later part of his life, latter part of his life. And then there's the Park Güell, and there's the, you know, the big Barcelona Cathedral that was created by Gaudi.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of beautiful architecture in Barcelona that basically happened 1880s to 1920s, you know, before the Civil War. And
right.
Barcelona was probably the biggest and most prosperous city in Spain.
Yeah, I saw an art exhibit about, based on Barcelona in New York City a few years ago. They were talking about that history. So what you have is that, you know, you talk to people in Toronto, they want to get bicycle paths. It's a big deal to get a bicycle pathway in the streets. Europe has
right.
no problem with that, right? That's all what Americans long for, or certain kinds of Americans, they got all that in Europe, right? They're better designed cities on that level, right? Human scale.
Oh, yeah. Bicycles are everywhere. In Copenhagen, it's such a quiet city because the bicycle paths are wide. There's two, you can ride two bicycles at the same time on that path side by side. And the cars are limited to one lane and the bicycle paths have like two lanes for bikes. So for a North American, you have to be careful when you're crossing the street. You don't just look for cars, you look for bikes because they're quiet and they're silent and they can run you over really fast. But yeah, it's a very quiet city, an elegant city, and everybody from, I don't know, 6-year-olds or 4-year-olds and to 90-year-olds are on their bikes getting around.
Mm. So the European city.
The nice thing is the older people are all out. The older people are walking. They're sitting in the, on the benches along the walkways. They're interested in life, you know. They're alive. When you look in their faces, they still have a lot of light in their eyes, and their faces are sort of shiny.
Yeah, it sounds like it's better, a better life socially for people, normal little men, in Europe than American cities. Sounds better
yeah,
for
definitely.
Older people.
Well, when they go out, of course, they feel like they're part of the community, whereas our old people, and a lot of people are just shut in now. Everybody stays home. Nobody really goes out and walks around.
And they
don't
have a car. Once they lose their license, they can't drive. It's screwed.
Yeah. You know, Halifax is sort of a European city in a way because the whole downtown core is walkable, and all the pathways along the waterfront have created sort of that community feeling of restaurants and walking paths
yeah,
and biking paths.
You know, in Ulysses, you know, Joyce's book Ulysses, a lot of the street names in Dublin are the street names in Halifax. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah. I noticed that when I walked around Dublin, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if there was an Irish presence in Halifax. There is Irish, but I wonder if it was more Irish at some point than British.
Well, Scots too, right?
Yeah, and maybe those street names are everywhere in the United Kingdom. Maybe they're the same names everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it sounds very nice. It sounds really a lot better than American cities for older people, for people who don't have to have cars and it's walking around. Yep.
And they eat out a lot. I mean, in Rome, it's so hot, you can't stay home, really. You have to go out and get some air and walk. And, you know, it's cool in the evening. And that's why people, you know, they go home and have a lunch at 1 o'clock and everything's sort of, in Spain anyway, everything shuts down between 1 and 5 p.m.
Right. So, you know, that's McLuhan's point. It's really a truism. Americans, the only people who go out to be alone, and the rest of the world goes out to be social. And within the West, Europeans go out to be social and they go home to be alone. Different in America.
Well, they go out to the malls to be social, really. When you go to the malls, that's where you see all the older people walking around because they're inside and there's a few benches. And I'm really always amazed to go past Tim Hortons.
What did you say they go to? The mosque?
The malls. Malls.
Oh, malls. The malls.
M-A-L-L, yeah.
Are they outdoor malls?
No, they're indoor malls.
So they're not getting fresh air?
No, but you see them, that's where they socialize. You can see all the old guys sitting around tables at Tim Hortons, you know, yakking it up and looking around. And the ladies are
okay,
shopping.
So here would be a new pattern. Since television caused Americans to start putting on going out to be social, that's what the malls serve, right? The malls in North America are the new going out to be social, maybe.
But in actuality, it feels like home because it's a false environment, or it's a created environment, and you're not outside. You're not experiencing nature. You're experiencing the mall.
In Europe or the United States?
In the United States, it's sort of almost like being home, except it's bigger.
Right. You have to park. You have to park, whereas you probably can walk into the malls in Europe. You don't have to do this parking thing.
In Canada, they call them the mall walkers because the weather is so cold, and it's not just the old people, but a lot of people go, and they just keep, that's how they get their exercise. They go to these big malls, and they just, everybody calls them mall walkers. I've done it myself when it's really cold.
Yeah.
And they're walking fast or with their arms swinging, doing the exercise.
Yeah, I don't see them like raising their arms or that, but they are power walking.
They've got their sneakers on.
They've been
doing that for years.
Yeah.
Who's saying that? Is that Randy?
No, it's Linda.
Linda, okay. So what would be the difference between American malls and European malls, Sue? Maybe the car, the parking lot, eh?
Well, yeah, and they shun the malls, really. I mean, there's some very big stores, like in Paris and all the big cities, of course, but they're still on the streets that people walk on. There's not great big huge parking lots, you know what I mean?
Right.
And people shop in their little neighborhoods, and they shop at the little boutiques, and they don't really... I'm sure there's Costco's and things like that over there, but mostly down in the downtown core, and they have a vibrant downtown core because many, many people still live in the downtown cores of the cities in Europe.
Do the Europeans, families stay together more than American families?
Yeah, you see more of multi-generational families having dinner at night on the walking street.
And they don't have a lot, as many single parents?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
There's lots of families, but there might be a lot of single parents that are invisible.
I'm not sure about that, Bob. I'd have to check. I'll ask Brendan about that if he knows about that. I know that, I think everything's sort of breaking down in the marriage department in Spain because I know Brendan's girlfriend was very beautiful when he was living there in Logroño, and she was 10 years older than him. And I think he was 24, she was 34, and she wanted to get married, of course, and settle down in this very small little town and start having children. But, I mean, my son was only 24, and he didn't want that in his life at that time. And I think she's still single, so she must be like 39 now. And she's an artist. She's absolutely beautiful. But there's a lot of men who don't have jobs in Spain who cannot support a wife and a family, and it seems like a lot of, you know, marriage is not happening. A lot of these adult children are forced to stay home with their parents, and everybody's trying to pitch in just to eat, especially in Spain. Spain and Italy, it seems like that.
Yeah, Greece
as well.
Oh, yeah, Greece, too.
Well, what do you think? There's no best country surviving-wise, eh? They're all screwed up in
Germany,
some way.
Germany is doing great. Germany is a very interesting country, and the people are definitely doing a lot, doing well. But again, they feel like they're shouldering everybody else and carrying them around. Now,
do you like
Germans? Pardon me?
Do you like Germans?
Yeah, I really like Germans. They're terrific. You know, when Brendan was doing his musical,
I bring this up. Remember in Germany, in Munich, in 1972.
Yes.
We went to an October beer hall, or you did, or something, and this baby boomer German said to you, "We're going to whoop you guys the next time." You were shocked. You remember that?
No, I don't. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, you're telling me that the German was, you know, he was considering that World War II was just round one. He told you that.
Wow.
So I was wondering if you didn't like that, and I was wondering if you had changed. And so, you changed your attitude towards the Germans. You haven't had any more unpleasant experiences?
No.
My brother says West Berlin is, and he's traveled a lot, and he lived in West Berlin for a year, and he said it was the best place in the world. If he had his choice of where to live, that's where he would have lived.
What?
Yeah, you should have Roxana on, Bob, and talk to her about Berlin. It's supposed to be the most happening city in Europe.
Well, she told me, I did talk to her, she told me that it's the safest place for, you know, a single woman to walk around in.
Mm.
She says it's very, she feels very safe in Berlin.
Mm.
Some reason. So why would your brother like it? What's great about it?
I guess, this was many, many years ago when he was younger and he met his wife there. He said that the countryside was beautiful, and he just liked the social life, and he speaks fluent German, so he was able to get around easily with everyone. And I don't know, because it was many years ago in my memory, but he just loved it. And apparently it's a very beautiful country, as well as he enjoyed the social aspects.
Hmm.
Bob, the German are really into fitness and getting around. I don't think I ever see a big fat German walking around. Now, you might see some hefty guys drinking beer in the beer garden, in the parks and stuff, but a lot of people are quite healthy looking. They have all kinds of hiking experiences out in the mountains and the woodlands, and they like to do that kind of thing. I know somebody told me about Berlin that it's a really hip, happening place for young people, and there's just tons of artists there, architects, musicians, and it's a very inexpensive place for people to live, and so it's attracting artists from all over the world in all kinds of different categories.
Hey, Sue, I was thinking this the other day. I hadn't thought of it in a long time. What happened to AIDS? Is AIDS still an issue?
It faded away, Bob.
What?
It faded away. HIV, right?
Yeah, HIV. Is that Andrew saying that?
Oh, no, that's Leon.
Oh, now, it's a myth that it faded away.
It's just like no one really talks about it. Has no influence anymore. Like even my old boss.
Let me tell you, Leon. When I did that broadcast on the cause of AIDS, a viral debilitant, in 1989, the Evergreen said it started in 1980, and it would go 29 years. And by the late 27, 20, 29, it said it would be, if you got AIDS, the virus would have become so benign, it would be like getting a cold, and that's all. So it occurred to me the other day, it's now 29 plus 5 years, and you don't hear anything about it. The Evergreen's prediction came true.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, listening on the Bob Fest when they mentioned that, but, like, especially a lot of, like, white folks, they really bank on this concept that they've been through so many, like, trials of, like, diseases from the Black Plague and so forth that their bodies are immune to HIV. And I'm like, I don't think you guys truly understand, like, the mechanics of HIV and how it's possibly.
People are pretending that, or going with the idea it's not an issue. They don't even worry.
Yeah, it's not even an issue. It gives cancer. Cancer is the new disease right now. That's the new trendy one.
It's all good cancer, so guys. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, so Sue, you ever hear about AIDS?
No, I don't, Ashley. A lot of guys in the airlines, of course, I knew who had AIDS, and we were supposed to have had, well, I knew the guy that was supposed to be number one AIDS guy.
Yeah,
who was
that's what I was going to bring it up to. That's the Zanocrine. Yeah. The guy who supposedly started AIDS, patient one, came out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, in 1976, and Sue knew, and there's a Dobbstown Zanocrine. It was somebody 1 degree from me caused it.
Yeah. I used to fly with him.
Right. And he died when it was virulent, right? Like lasted 10 minutes with it or something.
And one of my best friends in Toronto died of AIDS in October 7th, 1985. I remember going to see him in Toronto at the hospital, and I had Brendan with me, and it was a big deal. But I didn't fear the AIDS. I just, I wanted him to hold Brendan before he, while he was in the hospital, and he was fine. Brendan survived, I survived, he survived, and he didn't survive. No, he died a couple weeks later.
Well, you're saying you wanted him to hold Brendan?
Yeah, well, Brendan was 3 months old. I went to see him just so he could see Brendan before he died.
And you weren't worried about infection?
That's no, but in those days, it was like people didn't want to touch AIDS people.
Yeah.
They wanted to stay 10 feet away from them and all this kind of thing.
Well, LaRouche would say stuff like, 100 million people are going to die, global pandemic, and it didn't really happen. So they say, you know, you heard about 10, 15 years ago that Africans had a lot of it going on. Something was going on over there. It was still...
Oh, yeah, whole villages got wiped out. All the parents got wiped out, and I know... Personally, my girlfriends in Wolfville raise a lot of money all the time for grandmothers in Africa, and there's whole villages where it's just the old grandmothers that are left and the children, but the entire, you know, mothers and fathers have all been wiped out by the AIDS virus.
So there's where you'd ask, is that still happening? Is AIDS still happening in Africa?
Yeah.
So back to your travels. What's your favorite part of the world, or is it impossible to say?
Well, I have my different parts of the world that I love, and right now it's Copenhagen, and I'm going to Milan next week for the very first time. So that's going to be an interesting city. If there's anything that you think I should see in Milan, I think they have the Last Supper by Da Vinci in Milan.
Mm. Well, remember Zappa, I talked to Ike Willis about it. He was going to do a tremendous extravaganza on TV, you know, on the during the World Cup in Milan, the soccer cup in 1990 or so. Now, wait. So listen. Go there and see if it is happening in a parallel world.
Okay.
Yeah, you just drop off in a couple other worlds. Maybe it did happen. Somewhere.
Yeah. So that was his opera, and what was he calling it? Do you remember, Bob?
Yeah, I played, this is the song for it. If we're, we're still on the air. This is the title song. It's called Dio Fa, which means God lies. So if you wanted to express God lying, that's how it sounds.
Wow. It sounds like one of those didgeridoos from Australia at the beginning.
Or in the Mongol singers, the Tufan or Tudu singers, whatever they are, the voice guys.
Oh, the throat singers?
Yeah. It could be that. But that's St. Clavier mixture, virtual music, a mixture.
Right.
Of
well, I don't know too much about...
Life.
About Milan, but it's northern Italy and close to Switzerland, and it has it's sort of like the industrial capital of the north of Italy. I think that they feel that they make all the money, and the central and southern Italy people are all slobs and just hang around and, you know, don't work.
So they're southern. They're in the hotter part, maybe. So the colder is the workaholics, and the southern is the layabouts.
Right, right. And the only thing, The only movie I've ever seen that featured Milan was called I Am Love with Tilda Swinton. Do you know that movie?
Say it again. I Am what?
I Am Love.
By or with?
With Tilda Swinton.
No.
Do you know that actress? She's from England, and she has very ethereal look. She looks a lot like David Bowie.
Yeah.
And she does she's in a vampire movie right now, and it looks very creepy, but she plays a good vampire, apparently.
Okay, so, Sue, is there a tourist train service? You can get on and fly all over the place real fast in Europe.
They have EasyJet and a lot of those cheap airlines that Brendan used to use them all the time. He would get on for $20 from Spain and be able to fly to Paris or Germany or Italy for $20 and $20 home.
Very fast. Wouldn't take very long to get there.
Yeah. Oftentimes you have to go to a smaller airport, not one of the big airports like Charles de Gaulle or, you know, the airports in the big major cities. You have to go to the alternative airport that's a little bit more out of the way.
Right. Well, what about just being on a train and looking? You want to be on a train and look at the countryside. Is that still happening?
Oh, yeah, that's still happening big time. And I think they still have Euro passes where people can buy, you know, month passes or however long they want to travel for and then jump on, jump off kind of thing.
You know, you had if you're in Europe sometime the first week of August or something, you could go up to East Germany, what was East Germany, and go to the Zappa Festival.
When is that on, Bob?
Well, I can look it up. It's called the Zappanale. You know, it's approximately the same every year. Like, I was there in 2011.
Yeah. I met you after that, remember?
In
London.
London. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on vacation in July and August for a few weeks, so I'll be coming back to Nova Scotia, I think.
Okay. Anybody else? We're coming near the close. Anybody have something that they want to say about anything?
Bob.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to admit, like, this last night with Ion, the first, like, round, it was kind of hard for me to kind of keep up a little bit. I got to go back and actually re-listen to it.
To what? To what, Ion?
to Ion, this from yesterday evening.
Yeah? What was he talking about?
I need to go back and listen to it. I know he was bouncing all over the place, but the patterns that he was creating.
That surprises you? That surprises that you couldn't get it the first time.
Yeah, like, I was surprised. Like, I usually can catch his flow and understand, like, every, you know, at least the, some of the nuances and then, you know, the patterns that he created. But this last time, I don't know if I was in my right mind or I was just really tired, but.
Hmm.
But well, I'll go together and say it was a great show. Go ahead.
Hey, Sue, it's July 17th to July 20th is the Zappanale, so it's.
Okay.
Middle, third week of July.
Thanks. Okay. Can I ask, Bob, can you tell me, how important is it to start knowing all this chemistry that everybody's talking about? I mean, Gene seems to know a lot about this. Bert talks a lot about
it. It's not important at all. It's only for Carolyn to know when she has to answer. You know, the Inquisition about how could this stuff work? She has to have some words. Because Ein says it's almost not even accurate. You have to use the Western model, and he tries to explain it within that. But if it's stuff from another dimension, it's not even applicable, any of that stuff.
Right. So, I mean, this just blows right over my head, and my eyes kind of glaze over, and I can't make head or tail of it, so I just let it be.
Well, you need to concentrate a little bit. You just have to know what the chromosome is and what an RNA is, what a DNA is. And when you know the RNA affects the chromosome 14, which affects DNA, then you got three things. It's like a triangulation.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you know something, and you know it's probably accurate. And then therefore then someone else starts telling you all this DNA and other kind of talk, you can ignore it. because you know the basics. That's what happened to me doing ION all these years, because I got some basics about signs. I then could focus on the garble, and actually I'm pretty good at reading signs now because I know what to throw out.
Yeah.
So you just need to focus a bit. You don't get to focus much in your lifestyle.
It is pretty phenomenal how the RNA drops are affecting my mind and how focused I really am. I don't get any brain fog anymore, and I find that people actually. I had a friend come over today, and she told me to back off because I was just too. I was looking at her too intensely.
Back off.
Yeah, she got really kind of defensive and said, you know, what are you on? And I didn't realize I was focusing right in on her, and I had this gaze, I guess, and she got kind of discombobulated by it.
Well, she can tell by the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know something. You have a position of security. You actually know something works. So if you know one thing, that'll make you intense.
Well, you know, and I listened to her very intently and focus on her, and she got very uncomfortable about that. She was talking a lot about, you know, her body and things breaking down and people around her being diagnosed with lung cancer who had never smoked and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And she was freaking out over stuff that the doctor said to her and all this stuff. And I just wanted to take her and shake her and say, will you just bloody well get on the complement formulas? For God's sake, stop messing around and stop worrying about all this stuff and stop creating this stuff in your mind. And I think that was probably going through my head when I was looking at her so intently, and she probably picked up on it.
Yeah, you actually were looking aggressively at her. You were sending daggers at her stupidity.
Well, maybe that was it. She can read my mind. Yeah.
Oh, she could feel it. She didn't know why. Hey, so Bill, get ready to play this Apple thing when it's appropriate. We got, you know, 2 minutes, 20 seconds left, so wherever you're supposed to do at the 1 minute mark, let's have a full, we haven't had a send off from Frank in Austin, Texas in several shows now.
How many hours have you been on today? How many hours?
Maybe 20. I don't know. 20 maybe?
Yeah, you were about like 20. Yeah, because 4 more hours from here, you'll be 24 hours. So you're about like 20, 19 to 20.
Yeah. So I've done this will be the third week of 20 hours.
When are you going to go 24, Bob?
We're going to implode, Bob. We're going
to
implode.
I've got to go to bed at some point so I can go to the beach. So it's coming up to 10 o'clock, so... You know, we'll stop the recording. I went 24 hours last week. You know, 20
you did?
And 4 more hours talking. I'm not recorded. I'm not
well, Bob,
today,
I have to give you a big shout out and a big thank you for creating this most amazing program and giving us all this information for free. I mean, I'm so grateful to have this to enrich my life. It's just awesome. And you're absolutely right that there's nothing else to do. This is the only game in town, really.
It's perfect for baby boomers because they time to get wise, right? So it gives them something to be wise about.
Yeah. And to focus on instead of that crap that's on the news and all that kind of thing. I mean, this is... I just find that my mind is exploding in all kinds of different directions lately. I mean, the art and the history and the literature and the music and you just enrich. And now that, you know, my brain is so focused, I'm able to sort of stay with it. And I just feel like...
I don't think Bill's going to sleep. I have pressed the panic button, even though it's too late. He deserves a panic button. Where's the fucking music? I don't think you can come up with it. You fucking blew it. I'll play my fucking music. What can I play?
So thanks, Bob.
Stay on the line.
Thanks, George.